your troops.
Got to keep everybody advised. That's good. Yeah. Well, as you see those little troopers going out, that's going to be part of what I want to share with you today. It's your responsibility and my responsibility with these young people. I've had the opportunity in this past week to be in a couple of different churches or church settings, at least. I was at First Baptist Church, Sled Hill, last week and preached in their men and boys wild game dinner. They were not looking for a hunter, by the way. They were looking for someone just to share the gospel. And so I guess they decided I might qualify in that, and we had a really good service. It was one of the things that really touched my heart while I was there was, there was an old man that laughed at all my jokes. I really did like that. But what really touched my heart was that I saw what I assumed to be an older brother taking care of his little brother. At least this older teenager had this two-year-old in his arms. It was men and boys. It was all men and boys. And he was sitting on some steps. And this, I assumed to be two- or three-year-old boy, which I assumed to be his brother. Could have been someone else. I didn't ask any questions. But he was laying with his head on his brother's shoulder asleep, and his brother was holding him. And I thought that is a picture of what church ought to be about. It's really a picture of what church ought to be about, that the elders are training the younger. And then yesterday, I was at a funeral in a church, and they had fed the family a dinner, and Gwen and I had gone to the funeral, and grandpa-in-law on the other side, as Lana, our oldest daughter's father-in-law, had passed away, and we were at that funeral, and we were at the dinner, and I saw in the as they were the women were working in the kitchen. There were women in there. There were older women in there, but it was filled with teenage girls. And they were doing the work. These teenage girls were doing the work. They were after it. I mean, they were getting after it. And I thought, this is what church is to be about. It's the older ones teaching the younger ones how to do church, how to serve the Lord. And so, with that said, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Mark, the 10th chapter. Mark, the 10th chapter. And look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. Mark, the 10th chapter, and look at verse 13. And let's stand together. Guys, can we put that on the board? Is it up there? Okay, good, great. It's going. So if you don't have a Bible in your hand, you can look at the board. That's great. Those guys are 10 steps ahead of me, I tell you all of the time. And I am so grateful for that. I'm not saying this for any other reason other than it's true, that I absolutely couldn't do it without help. I mean, I could not do it without help. And I have so much help. It is amazing. I can't imagine being pastor in a church without all this help. I'd be blowed up. And I don't know if it's... My father-in-law said that when he was young in the church, that one of the pastor's wives played the piano for everything, and she was awful. She was an awful piano player. And he said, but she made more piano players than you could imagine. Everybody started taking piano lessons so they could take her place. And so maybe I'm making preachers. I don't know. I hope so. I do appreciate all of this help. Verse 13, and they brought young children to him. Now sometimes some commentaries will mistake this some way. When he's talking about young children, we think maybe we'll see a picture of this, and it's 10 or 12 year old kids or young teenagers or something that they're bringing. Actually, when you discover what he's saying here, he's talking about babies. He's really talking about babies, little children, maybe up to toddlers, but they are little bitty kids. They are very young. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Now, this is a very, very strong word. It wasn't that it just displeased him. It made him as mad as thunder for them to do that. He was very displeased and said to them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Now look at this. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. Isn't that a great passage? It's a great passage. Father, I pray that you would bless this time that we have together in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Your greatest and a most effective ministry is your own children and the children of the church that you have the responsibility of. Whether you're a Sunday school teacher or an Awana teacher or leader, or perhaps you've just picked one out to be a mentor to, or you're just loving on them and giving them a reason to come because they know that if they come to the church, they're going to get loved on. They're going to be special in some way. That is our ministry, and it is our most effective ministry in the world. Our most effective weapon against the devil. Are you hearing me? Is our children. Look with me over in the book of Psalms, right in the middle of your Bible, Job, Psalms 127, way over there. I'm not going to do what I thought about doing today. I had thought that I would have all the children up here that had either been in Bible drill or Awana, and some of them grown up and they're teenagers now, and they've grown out of that. But what effective weapons they are for the church as they have gone out into society. Look at verse 3 of Psalms 127. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. In one of the churches that I was at this week, I looked around and I did not see but a couple of children. There was, in a church field and with mostly old people, there was a couple of kids there. Now, they may have been somewhere else. They may have been in another service somewhere. I don't know. But there wasn't any kids there. And I thought, how will they go on? How are they going to go on when all these folks die, how are they going to go on? It's an impossibility. Our most effective ministry in the church at Osage are the young people who are seated here in this auditorium right now and the ones that are in children's church. Because in a very few years, they will take over the reins at Osage if Jesus does not come back first. They are our most effective ministry. And so it is imperative that we teach them the Word of God, that we teach them the principles of the doctrine of Christ and of the Bible so that they will have a solid foundation to stand on and a foundation to teach from so that they may teach their children what we have taught them about the Holy Bible, God's Word. And look at what it says in verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. He's given them to us. Hey, we can't mess this thing up. He has given them to us. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Here it is. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. Did you catch that? They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. In Isaiah, the 59th chapter, and the second part of that, verse 19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. So what is it? It's the home. It's the children. We live in a society that are killing children by the thousands. Every day, those that would be great leaders, those that would be great scientists who would make great discoveries, they're being slain on the altar of convenience, even as I speak. But who is it that's going to raise up this standard against the movement of the devil that is going on in our society at this time? Samuel's mother, Hannah, gave Samuel to the Lord. You remember the story, right? In 1 Samuel, the first chapter, and the 28th verse, Hannah said, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. I think that's a great thing for all of us to do. All young people that you and I have an opportunity to touch their life in this church are the weapons that God has put in our hand to fight against the devil in the society in which you and I live. Now, it gets hard to do. It seems almost impossible. I sit in the council time on Wednesday night sometimes, and I see how difficult it is for the adults to try to keep order. And we have taken an 8-year-old in, and I tell you, it gets hard almost to being impossible to deal with that. But at the same time, he is a weapon in our hands for the future. And how we mold that weapon, how we use that weapon is going to make a difference whether he's going to be in the army of the devil or the army of the Lord, whether he's going to be making a difference in the kingdom of God or making a difference in the kingdom of Satan. And it's not easy. It's not easy. It's just many times a constant battle, and it's hard almost to let him be an 8-year-old. It's just a constant struggle. And I heard someone say that it looks like that Brother Lanny has somebody that was probably just like him when he was 8 years old. I don't know which one of you said that, but I caught that. That came through my ears at some point. Maybe all of you did. I've told you the story about the lady picking my brother and I up and taking us to church one time. And she didn't pick us up anymore. I don't know what we did, but whatever it wasn't suitable because we'd never been to church before. The Bible says that when Samuel prayed, the Lord didn't let any of his words fall to the ground. He always heard his prayers, and that's what we're after. In our passage in Mark, the disciples rebuked those that brought the little kids because they saw Jesus as a teacher and a healer of adults. They didn't think that the kids were important. Now, think about this. And don't we get to thinking about that sometimes? That they're not all that important? I mean, I really don't know why 5th and 6th grade boys don't act like older gentlemen, do y'all? But they don't, do they? I don't know why 3rd graders don't act like seniors in college, but they really don't. And so we have this fantastic opportunity to make a difference in lives if we take the attitude that the disciples took, that Jesus is a teacher and a healer of adults, and these kids do not require him in either capacity. They don't look at Jesus as the teacher, and these little babies that they were bringing to Jesus, they didn't need the teacher. They didn't need the teacher. They didn't need the healer. They needed the blesser. And I think about that as all these young people, and no doubt they're coming to this age that they need the teacher, no doubt. They come to that age where they need the teacher. And some of them will need the healer as life goes on. But right at that point, they needed the blesser. They needed the blesser. Jesus took them up in his arms and he blessed them. And he blessed them. He took them up in his arms and he blessed them. Now, I understand we're dealing with the coronavirus right now, and I'm not going to urge you to hug on these kids because you don't need to be doing it this time until we get past this deal. But I'm here to tell you that there's going to be some young people that come to our church on Wednesday night that the only loving that they get from an adult is what they're going to get here on Wednesday night from you. Did you hear me? I mean, that's all they're going to get. They're going to get slapped around and they're going to be yelled at. And some of them won't have any supper until they get here. They wouldn't have had anything to eat at their house until they get here to eat that our cooks have provided for them. And they won't have any love in their home except the love that you and I give them here at this church. Jesus took them up in His arms. I know that there are things that we need to restrict ourselves about. But you can hug and love on a child in an appropriate way. I'll tell you, Noah has taught us a lot in the last 5 months. I'll tell you, we haven't done it. We've failed miserably in a lot of situations. My wife's going to have to give to missions. Her phone's going off in the middle of church. How much did we say that they had to give to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering if their phone went off in church? He can be in a rage, mad, and he has a right to be mad. He has every right. And you and I'd be mad too if we'd gone through. So we have to keep that in the back of our mind about all these kids that come on Wednesday night. And I can get a hold of him, pull him up in between my legs, sit down on the hearth, pull him up next to me, and just go to squeezing him. And he melts. Because he never had it. Never had that before. Never had a man to love him the way that he should be loved. And we have 60, 70 here on Wednesday night that need the very same thing. They need the blesser. He's essentially the blesser. And our children's missing out on Jesus blessing them if we put some kind of restriction on that. In verse 14, he was moved with indignation. The only time that this particular emotion is attributed to him, it was on behalf of the children. Look with me over in Matthew's gospel and look at the 18th chapter. Matthew 18, look at verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and he set him in the midst of them. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me." Now he goes on and he says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." And then he talks about offenses coming, and he said they're going to come. "But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." And he talks about if there's something standing in the way, get it out of the way. No matter what, get it out of the way. And he said, take heed that you despise not, verse 10, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. I was going to read one more verse in this. I don't see it right now. Verse 14, back in our passage. Jesus said, forbid them not, but bring them to me. So how do we bring them to Jesus? Now, babies and children, how is it that we get them before Jesus? How do we bring them to them for Jesus to bless? As a church, how do we bring them to Jesus for Jesus to bless? Well, I want to give you some suggestions and then we'll go. We can pray for them in our prayers. We can pray for them. I was real impressed. I don't know if I heard Tim talking about Riley's girlfriend, and he told her, we've been praying for you all your life. So there's praying for whoever was going to marry Riley when he was a baby. And that's one way that we can, and we've been praying. We prayed for our kids in that way. We prayed for our grandkids in that way. So in our prayers, we can bring them to Jesus in our prayers. Secondly, we can bring them to Jesus in our example. We can show them what Jesus is like by our example. You know, there are folks, and there may be folks here in this congregation today who had a terrible father and was mean and rotten and no good and was mean to your mother and mean to the kids. And so it's hard for them to look at a loving heavenly father that way. When they think of a father, they don't think of a loving heavenly father. They think of someone mean and ornery. But God is love, and God loves us, and He loved us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sin. We can be an example to the kids in this church and to our own kids and our own grandkids by our example of love. My grandkids, my oldest daughter's kids, buried their grandpa this week. And so we were able to spend quite a bit of time with them. And something that I noticed about them, that I spent a lot of time hugging on them and loving on them because their heart was broke. And I noticed every time, all three of them, they're all grown, but all three of them, as they hug me, they said, I love you, Papa. I love you, Papa. I love you, Papa. And I noticed that they said that more than normal, more than what they normally would, because they had just lost their other Papa. And they were not going to let anything slip. They were going to. And I thought, boy, I'm getting to be a recipient of some of their love that they had toward their other grandpa, and they really loved their other grandpa. You and I need to be an example just in that way for them to be able to see the love of God in us. We can teach them the Word of God. We never, ever can get away from the Word of God. We can't get away from the Bible. We've got to make sure that we teach the Word of God. We've got to make sure that our kids understand how precious the Word is. That it's the truth, that it's life. We just need to emphasize and reemphasize the importance of the Word of God. And then we can guard their young hearts in every way possible. Keep them from seeing things that they shouldn't see. Keep them from reading things they shouldn't read. Keep them from being involved in things that they should not be involved in. And even keeping them away from bad influences of other children that are going to lead them in the wrong direction. And that's not an easy thing to do. That's a pretty tough thing to do sometimes. There were times when our kids were growing up that they were invited home with other kids to spend the night or to spend the weekend or something. And we didn't know those parents. We wouldn't let them go. And we would say, they can come home with you, but you can't go home with them. We can control things here at our house, but we can't control things at their house. We don't want you exposed to anything that will be in your mind that will mess things up for your heart. And there's not anything wrong with that. It's what you should be doing. Matter of fact, the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it comes all of the issues of life. All of the issues of life come out of that. Brother Mike, will you come and help us with an invitation? And you other guys, come and stand here with me. I want to give you an invitation to accept Christ as your Savior today, if you haven't already done that. And did you know that the Bible says that you're to make that public whenever you receive Christ as your Savior? Matter of fact, the Lord said, if you don't confess me before men, I'll not confess you before the Father. So I want to give you an invitation to come and receive Christ as your Savior. If you've already been saved and you haven't been scripturally baptized, I want to give you an opportunity today to come and make that decision for the Lord, that you would follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you've already been saved and scripturally baptized and you're feeling that God would have you to become a member of this church, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. So let's stand together. And as God deals with your heart, you let him be in charge, and you come as God leads.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Patient and loving, he's waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home. Calling, oh sinner, come.
looking to the future day by day, that you'd walk with us and help us to lean upon you and depend upon you. And most of all, this morning, Lord, we ask that you would help us to see the kids that are surrounding us.